morning. Welcome to Ebenezer's Online Services. We are so glad that you joined us today. We know that Pastor Woods has a timely word for us. Enjoy, be blessed, and please stay safe.
Good morning, Ebenezer Church family and friends. I will be reading this morning from Luke, first chapter, starting at the 26th verse, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wonder what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. This kingdom will never end."
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back with you, us worshiping together. Just a wonderful experience of what God has done via technology and how we can connect in various places in our lives, whether we're in our cars or on our jobs or in our homes or recovering from an illness, hospitals, nursing facilities. God has just truly blessed us in this season and time to be able to reach out to one another in a wonderful way. I want to remind you, please download the app. I've been saying it over and over again because I've been getting wonderful feedback. Someone, a younger person, I won't give their name, the other day called me and we were talking. They said, "We have an app." Like, yeah, I've been saying this over and over again. But like, we have an app. It's so wonderful. And they were just excited about the interactivity of that app. And older ones of Ebenezer have been excited also and have been using it. They've been going places and been able to still get on our live cast, our podcast, also when we're doing Bible studies. So it's just been a wonderful tool. So please, if you haven't downloaded that, it is parallel to ebcnc.com. And we ask you, please, as you're doing all that, you can connect your giving through that. You can give right through the app, or you can continue to go to ebcnc.com, or you can send your gifts of love to our secure mailbox. Whatever way you choose, as you can see on the screen, you can even text to give. So God has blessed us with a lot of avenues and opportunities to give. Not just your physical monies, we thank you for that, but also just reaching out, texting, loving on one another, just keeping the body. Thank God for his love that's on the inside of us. Also, we want to remind you, we have in-person services at 8:45 and 10:45. 8:45 and 10:45, they've been going well, mass, social distance as well as we can. We just thank God for our trustees, our deacons, our leaders, all those who are just volunteered and have just stepped up to assist in this transitional time as we continue to lift up the name of the Lord. Also, we want to give you this scripture that the Lord just kind of put on my heart this week. Actually, I did a podcast on it. It comes from Numbers 14:24. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Isn't that good? A different spirit. That's another sermon for another day. But thank God that he's made us peculiar people. He's put a different spirit on the inside of his Christians, his saints. And we can stand in that. We do not look like the world anymore. We are being transformed. We're being changed from the inside out. And that's the teaching that we've been dealing with, the Holy Spirit. As you can see in the background, table setting, we're going to talk about serving today and the Holy Spirit and His power working in us. Well, I just want to pray with you at this time. So let's pray.
Our Father and our God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. You stood by our bedside last night, Father God, and kept watch on this little heartbeat of ours, kept our blood running warm in our veins, and started us out this morning on another day's journey. Father, as we come today, we can't brag about our goodness, huh? We can't brag about our righteousness and how we have lived, because we know somewhere along the way we've gone wrong. We've gotten out of the path we have duty. But you have said, Father God, that we pray and call on you in your holy and righteous name, you will be just to forgive us. We ask today, Father God, that you forgive us for any sin we have done. Forgive us for anything we have done, Father God, to come up short. Anywhere we have said something to someone or done something to someone. And Father God, we just ask you to forgive us. Father, we want to thank you today. We want to thank you the way you took care of us. We want to thank you the way you provided for us. Father, there's so many things going on nowadays. And during this pandemic, Father, we had food and we had a shelter, and there's so many people that didn't have food and didn't have shelter, and some of them still going through, Father God. We just ask you, Father, to test them, let them know that you are still God. Regardless of whatever their circumstances are, you are God. And Father God, we just want you to test them and let them know that you will be with them today, tomorrow, and for the end to come. Because, Father, we know you was here before we come, Father God. You was here today with us, and you'll be here tomorrow. So we just thank you, Father God, for all your good you're doing. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, we've got something wonderful that we want to share with you. We have a baptism today. Yes, a baptism today. Lil Faith gave her testimony before our congregation, one of our 8:45 in-person services, and we were able to baptize her. And we just thank God how He's saving souls and bringing them to the knowledge of the truth. So I want you to pray for the Hall family as we go into this baptism.
None but the righteous. None but the righteous shall be
called. On confession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I just praise you for your presence. And even with faith, Lord, and going in the frigid water and being baptized, and we ask you to give her peace as she thinks about you and your grace and mercy. I thank you for this entire family, Lord, that we were even allowed to experience this today, God. And Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
To be a part of the body, and just how God just uses us all to connect with one another, and most importantly, that He be glorified. We've been in this teaching, and it has been blessing me, and I pray that it's been blessing you, learning about the personality of the Holy Spirit and what He's doing on the inside. Our topic scripture that we've been focused on is Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And then I love this part. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, just producing new life. And that's what He's doing in us. And that's what Jesus sacrificed. We're going to talk about that. Is so important in our life. And we've been dealing with the power of the Spirit. And I pray that you've been sensing His power on the inside of you. Don't forget the word that we've been studying about or using to study on the Holy Spirit. Pneumatology, studying the breath. That's what pneumo means, ontology, knowledge. And so we're getting knowledge of the Spirit of God and how He's interacting with us. Before we go any further, I just want to go in a word of prayer and just welcome the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank You so much for who You are. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You for all the avenues that You've given us to share Your gospel, Lord. I'm just thrilled at how You're moving in these days and time, and I really believe revival is in our land, and You're preparing our hearts. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are looking in. I pray that maybe someone's looking in that doesn't know You. I want to pray for them, Lord, that today they'll come to know You, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, You have raised them from the dead. And, Lord, let them know about Ephesians 2, that talks about Your great mercy that You have towards us because You love for us. And we found out that we're saved by faith through grace, and by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. So we thank You for that grace, and we thank You for putting faith on the inside of us. Thank You for all that You're doing, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome You. Please cleanse me, Father, of all unrighteousness. Forgive me of sins. Holy Spirit, would You teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would You make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like You? thank you for your word. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's jump into this section today. We've been working our way through the book of Acts, and a lot of theologians have come to this conclusion. This book could actually be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because though his name, the Holy Spirit, is not in every scripture, the actions that are taking place are definitely being produced by the Holy Spirit in the believers. Today I want to look at Acts chapter 6 and the third verse. Acts chapter 6 and the third verse. It reads, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And I want to speak from a title today. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. As we have been working through the previous chapter, and want to give you a little history to get to this point, we were in Acts chapter 5 and 3 on last time, but Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" And we dealt with a title last Sunday, "Who Are You Talking To?" Time frame is about AD 34. So much has happened in this infant church. God is using them via the Holy Spirit. Believers are being changed to look more like Christ. Those who are outside of the church are being saved. There is a reverence that has encompassed the church. We understand that the enemy had tried to slow the church down from the outside. Peter taking them into prison, persecution of Peter and John. But God was able to bring them out of that. And so when the devil's messing on the outside, he changes his tactics. Let's go on the inside. And on last Sunday, we dealt with Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Spirit and them actually dying right there within the midst of congregation. But after that, it's all cleaned up. God is really moving in the hearts. Miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. And today we pick up at Acts chapter 6 and 1. Again, when God is blessing it in a stream way, when God is doing some wonderful things in your life and my life, we need to be aware, because the enemy doesn't like it and it begins to mess. Let's look at that first verse. "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." Here's our first point: problems in the body. Problems in the body. Now, I want to give this setting of what's going on, because it may be hard for us to understand in our capitalistic society here in the United States. But at that time, the church was reaching out and were giving assistance to elders, widows, people who were going through. That society, the ladies were supported by men. So if your husband passed away, it was up to your community and the church to take care of you. And this is where the church really begins to shine. I just want to give you a little history here by B. Wilkerson of actually what's going on specifically with this scripture. It says, "In the early days of the church, it was customary to make daily disbursements to the poor widows of the church who had no other means of support. Some of the believers who had been Greek-speaking Jews complained because their widows were not receiving the same treatment as the widows of the Hebrews, those from Jerusalem and Judea." Yes, within the church, the enemy had slid in, complaints had arisen, and now we see something, and I'm using this word, and some of those who have been in church for a long time, this will flash out to you: cliques. Yes, there were cliques in the church. It saddens my heart. This is an early church filled with power. God is moving in an amazing way, but now things are slipping in. We find out something very important here. The Grecian Jews, both parties were Jews, but the Grecians, those who had brought up the language with the Greek predominantly, were actually being pushed aside by the more traditionalist Hebrew Jews. So the Hebrew Jews were being lifted up. and the widows of the Grecian were kind of being pushed to the side. We could say that the Hebrews were the founders. They were the ones that had been there the longest, the Grecian coming in. And so now there's an issue that's around. How do we deal with this? Paul had to deal with this within the Galatians church, Galatians 3:28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. As I look at today's church, we must be careful. We talk a lot about racism on the outside, and I mean Black Lives Matter, the whole movement on last year and entering into this year, the court dealings that we are going through now that's focused on this on the outside of the church. Saints of God, I present, we need to be careful that we're not allowing this racism to enter inside of the body, just as we're dealing with the Hebrews and the Greeks and this division that's come. Could we have been allowing classism to come into our churches, where our economic background and basis and what streets we live on and what communities we've moved in divide us? Could we have allowed prejudice to come into our churches, where we're looking at, again, the color of our skins, or, again, the cars that we drive, or the houses that we live in, or the schools that our children go to, or degrees that we have? All of these can produce a classism, prejudice, racism, all coming. And it grieves the Holy Spirit when we get caught up in our flesh, in ourselves, and things of the world. The Holy Spirit wants to use us in a wonderful way during this season and time. Notice how this story progresses even further. Acts 6:2-3. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Here's another point: full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to kind of stop where you are. We're walking through this, and I want you to think, when you think of somebody full of the Holy Spirit, what are images that come in your mind? That will always be dependent on if you grew up in church, or if you actually attended church, or what type of denomination. That puts the images of someone who's full of the Holy Spirit. But now I want you to really look at the scriptures to see the identifying tags that can show those who are full of the Holy Spirit. Let's look closely at Acts 6:3. It says, "Brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation." This is the part of it. Being filled with the Holy Spirit produces a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So being filled with the Spirit, that conjunction and wisdom is going to come from that, whom we may appoint over this business. Also the ability to lead, the ability to organize. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to use you. The Holy Spirit is working on the inside of those individuals that are full of the Holy Spirit. God can use you in a higher level. I want to put that. He can. He can send you into some places where others may be struggling, because he knows that you're not going to depend on your flesh, but you're going to depend on him that's moving on the inside. There ought to be some amens in the chat. Amen. Thanking God for his powerful Spirit on the inside of us. The more Holy Ghost that we have in it, the more we're going to be able to be used for working in the vineyard. Hallelujah. And we need more workers for God. We need more Holy Ghost field. Jesus was even challenged in his ministry. Yes, he was without limit of the Holy Spirit. Him and God on the same page, and the Holy Spirit all are one. But he makes this profound statement in Matthew 9:35. Listen to this. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. 36. I want you to focus in on this. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. There's so many weary and scattered people that are out there in our society. And we see this. We see this when mass shootings are taking place. We see this when people are suffering from depression and hurt on the inside. We see this when families are breaking apart. Divorce rates are going up. We see this when all of these things come into our society and we can no longer get along with our fellow men and our fellow women in our society, all because of this strainness that's happening. God needs workers. He needs people that are full of the Holy Spirit, that are aware of his voice and willing to be used of him. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 9:37, then he said to his disciples, hear this, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Yes, yes. On last season, I set out, that was when COVID was coming in, I have a walnut, black walnuts, and they came down, and they're just so many of them, and I hadn't really dealt with them before, because it just takes a lot of work to go through it, but I had some extra time, and I started to harvest black walnuts. But you know what, I couldn't do it by myself, I needed more laborers, so my nephews and my niece came over, and my mom, they were picking up these black walnuts, and every now and then I would have a help with steps, and all these things came together. See, the more laborers you have, the more work you're going to get done, the more that you can reach out and bless others. Where are our helpers in the church? Where are our helpers in the body of Christ? Where are our helpers? It doesn't mean just in a physical building, but our helpers in the society that are willing to be used as messengers of God. All of us have a calling in our life. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. Look at Jesus. He goes on in Matthew 9:38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The question is, are you praying? Are you praying for God to send laborers out? Be careful, because he's going to send you. We are laborers for God, and oftentimes we're praying for other folks, and thank you for your prayers, and thank God for using us to pray for other people. But please understand, the Holy Spirit wants to use you as a believer to be used in a wonderful way, as said before, to reach out that souls can be saved. Look at Acts 6:4. The Holy Spirit wants to use you, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Here's another point, prayer and the word. So now the apostles, they realize the workload has increased. There's this issue. It's like we need seven men to figure this out, to make sure that the serving is done right, that the Grecians feel like they're part, and also the Hebrews, they feel like they're part, the widows, everybody can be brought together in peace. And they bring out this, they said, so when this is taken care of, we can devote ourselves to prayer and the word. Prayer and the word. Look at Acts 6:4. They say something that's very powerful and that we can apply to our lives. They say that we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In our lives, please note that this wasn't just for the apostles. This is not just for Pastor Woods. This is not just for the deacons or the trustees or choir members or ushers. No, it's for all the body of Christ. God wants us to continually give ourselves to prayer, to communion with his Holy Spirit. Please, as we all work together and we pick up and come out as laborers, now all of us can get closer to God. All of us can hear his voice. All of us can be used in this way of impacting those that are around us. Let's not forget 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always. At 17, pray without ceasing, giving ourselves continually to prayer and the ministering of the word. 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And so all of these things, when we're used of God, when we are aware of God's Spirit, we're moving, we're praying, we're in the Word, we're sharing. And when we're doing that, we're not quenching His Spirit. We're allowing the Spirit to flow through us. Isn't that good? We're allowing it to flow, and people can sense that. They're touched by that, everything comes together the way God has planned it. Look at Acts 6, 5 and 6. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Here's another point. Worthy men. Worthy men. And I can add this, worthy men and women. Worthy men and women. Worthy boys, worthy girls. Wherever you're at, worthy. And that worthiness is dependent on God's Spirit working in you. The Holy Spirit guides the body of Christ. And as they're coming together, they're in agreements now. The apostles, they're bringing peace back into the fellowship. Everything is flowing together. Theologian Farstead, he writes what's occurring here. He says, judging from the names of the seven men who were chosen, most of them were Greek-speaking Jews before their conversion. This was certainly a most gracious concession to the very group that had made the complaint. Hereafter, there could be no charge of favoritism from that quarter. When the love of God fills men's heart, it triumphs over pettiness and selfishness. Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit wants to use you. So now, the parts of the body that had not been used, they're being elevated, and those that were in higher leadership, now they're sharing that load, and the body is being strengthened together. Look at verse 6 again, that last part. It says, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Prayer and being led of the Holy Spirit are critical for a successful church. Being able to hear God's voice and walk, allowing our steps to be ordered by the Lord, are critical. And I submit to you, in order to have revival, in order to be in the place that God would have us, we've got to say, God, use us for your glory. And we've got to know the voice of the Holy Spirit as he's working in us. Look at Acts 6, 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I love this one. I love this one. It's a point. Exponential growth. Exponential growth. Yes, when the body gets together, hallelujah, hallelujah, when the body gets together, when the body begins to flow together, when we put aside our racist thoughts, our classism, our prejudice, when we push that aside and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, something beautiful begins to happen. More souls are coming to Christ, and people are understanding God's word. Our lives are beginning to exemplify who God is more and more. Look closely at this, Acts 6 and 7. Then the word of God, it spread when we get on the same page, and the number of disciples multiplied, not just multiplied exponentially, it said multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Those who were religious, finally their eyes open up. And I believe that we're in a day and time, hallelujah, that even the religious folks, those that were a part of the building, those that had positions in the church, their eyes are starting to open up and realize, you know what, it's about Christ. It's not that my granddaddy was a deacon, or my daddy was a deacon, or my daddy's a pastor. It's not about that. It's about a relationship for myself with the Holy One of God. And here within the scriptures now, the church is growing. That brings back our statement that we've been kind of put before the church. Each one reach one. The question is, how much is God using you in this evangelistic time? How much is God using you to share the gospel with your neighbor, with those that are on your job, when you're going into the grocery store? Is God using you? And I pray that he is. And if he's not, you need to pray for the Lord of the harvest. We're going to talk about that. The Lord of harvest, to send out laborers, that you can be a part of that, what God is doing in these end times. Look at Acts 6 and 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Here's another point. Faith and power. Faith and power. Yes, God wants to use us And it thrills me to know that God is taking the time to set up everything that we need to actually be used in a powerful way. Look at this. Stephen is actually the first lay person other than the apostles that were recorded in doing miracles. Yes, in the scriptures. This opens up. This is a transitional time that is not just the apostles. People say, well, you know what? Peter, he walked with Jesus, and that's why he had so much authority. John, he walked with Jesus. But now God is saying, no, it's not that they were just with me, but I had to go away so the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, could come. And now all of God's people, all of God's children can walk in that same power. I'm telling you, I have had some amazing experiences in my life. I remember early in the ministry, I used to just do a lot of revivals. Just doing a lot of revivals here and there. Blessing after blessing of an opportunity to share a God's word. I remember in one revival, and I had just deep into the word, just studied, ministering the word, and at that time I would often go out and I would have prayer lines, and I would lay hands on people. That just what I did at that time. I was just younger and had more strength to be able to do that. And I remember this time nothing particularly came to me, but it was a deep time that I could sense that the Holy Spirit was moving. I was just trying to hear his voice and just praying for people. After that service, nothing happened, just went on, and I recovered from it. But I felt that there was a lot of drain that came out of me within that service. Some weeks later, I got a message from this person and said, Pastor, I just want you to know I was in this service, and you came and you prayed for me. You prayed for me. You didn't know what was going on in my life, but I had AIDS. Yes, they said I had AIDS, and I want you to know that I've been healed from AIDS. The doctors have confirmed that I've been healed from AIDS. Hallelujah. God is amazing. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit being able to move through me in a transparent way. It wasn't just because I was a pastor. I'm a believer, and you're a believer. He can move in you. There's evidence after evidence in Ebenezer. I remember Josh Arander. I just called him out because this is public. He was going into surgery for his heart. He had a defect within his heart, and I remember we called him up to the front, and the saints got around him, and they began praying. I was actually in the pulpit, but the saints, Mother Ruth got around, and others got around and began to pray the prayer of the righteous, and the righteous got together, and faith began to be infused within Joshua. And guess what? When he went to the doctor and they began that procedure, they could not find what they had saw before. A miracle had taken place, and there's some of you know that God is still in the miracle business. God can still do wonderful and amazing things within your life. And I am so glad that the Holy Spirit wants to use us even in this day and time. Please don't sell yourself short, because then the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. We taught on that last Sunday. All things are possible. Jesus gives us an understanding of the power of the Spirit in John 14 and 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Isn't that good news? He goes on to the 13th verse, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that John 4:16, it brings it together, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and he wants to use us. And in John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. Will you be a laborer for God? Will you be one of those that says, God, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for moving on the inside. Use me today. Look at Acts 6, 9, and 10 as we pull this all together. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. Here's our final point. The Spirit speaks. Yes, the Spirit speaks. We've talked about God wanting to use us and move in us. Look closely at this 10th verse. It says, not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. Yes, Stephen is being an example. And as you go forth in the scripture, you'll find out he's going to be the first martyr. But before he is martyred, he's going to say some amazing and wonderful things by the Holy Spirit. And I say that over and over because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He wants to produce miracles within us, not just healing the sick and raising the dead even, but even in our speech, he wants to pull things together that people can realize God is on the inside of us. That's why Jesus is so important, coming from heaven to earth. Remember, he taught like none other. The crowds, like he teaches. We have never heard it like this. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they tried to trip him up in his words, and Jesus would say things, and all of a sudden the Pharisees, we can't even answer to that, because there was wisdom that was infused in all of it. But I'm so glad that he didn't stop there, but he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and cries out and says, "Father, not my will, but let thy will be done." He allows Judas Iscariot to betray him. He allows them to beat him all night long. He allows nails to be put in his hands and nails to be put in his feet. And on that cross of Calvary, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. He paid the price that the Holy Spirit could be on the inside of us, died on that cross. They put him in a cold tomb, but he gets up on the third day with all power so that we can have that power and anointing on the inside of us. And now Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, and has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. The question is, will you allow him to be first in your life? Saints of God, these are serious times. I believe that we have made so many excuses. Yes, we've said, you know what, that person is Holy Ghost filled, and that person is Holy Ghost filled. And sometimes we've sat within the building and we're like, "Ooh, look at the Holy Ghost moving." But we've never said, "God, I want your Spirit to be exponential in me. I want to see and be used and souls being saved. I want to be transformed in such a way that people will know that I've been with Jesus. I want to be one of those laborers that are sent into the harvest, God, because I'm seeing the scattering. I'm seeing people that are losing it. I'm seeing young folks that are going astray. I'm seeing older folks that are going. I want to be used in this season." That's my prayer for you. And I pray that today that God will touch your heart and you will say, "Okay, God, I want to step up for you. Use me, Lord. Use me." Let me pray for you. Father, I pray right now. Maybe there's someone that's listening in, viewing in, that doesn't know you. Would you help them to make the decision today to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you're raising from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for your believers, Lord, those who have been saved and sanctified. But Lord, maybe just haven't been aware of the Holy Spirit and his personality and the desire that you have for the Holy Spirit to use them in a beautiful way. So Lord, I pray today that a movement happen on the inside, that they become more aware and more sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. And Lord, they be used this week. They be used today, God, to share Jesus with someone that needs to hear that you are alive and well. Father, thank you for all that you've done. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free, yeah, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my. Upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, a so divine, to a love you never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Hallelujah. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. With the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me, just for me. Whoa, Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the cross will always represent the love God has for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me, just for me. Whoa, Jesus came and did it just for me. Y'all help me sing this. Just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Whoa, Jesus came and did it just for me. Yes, sing it with me, y'all. Just for me. Just for me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Whoa, Jesus came and did it just for me. One more time, one more time. Just for me. Just for me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came and did it just for me. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Just for me, you died on Calvary. Whoa, whoa, yes, you did now. Jesus came and did it just for me. Amen.
Just for me. The Holy Spirit wants to use you, and he wants to use me. I am so glad that we can be servants of God and have his empowerment on the inside of us. So as you go through this week, I want you to be tuned in to the voice of the Holy Spirit and how he wants you to make a difference in this world. We'll talk to you soon.